Welcome to Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig, episodio 22. Hello, Reza.
Hiya, Craig. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
I'm very well, too. Thank you.
Jumping straight in this episode with some feedback from Marianne. I don't know who Marianne is from, but she's written to us three times. And the last time she left a message on inglespodcast.com, she says, "Oh, I'm very happy with your podcasts. I think these are a perfect way for me to learn English, especially for the listening, which is my difficulty. This is the third time." Well, actually, Marianne says, "This is the third time I contact you," but they're probably better in present perfect, don't you think, Reza?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the third time I've contacted you. I have contacted you. This time to say that I think there is a mistake in a Spanish verb translation. Take care in Spanish is cuidar, not cuidarse, because it is not a reflexive verb. That doesn't mean that you can't use it as a reflexive one when you're speaking about taking care of yourself. And Marianne gives two examples. ¿Qué tal tu padre? Está mejor, pero tendrá que cuidarse más. Si no, tal vez no pueda ir al partido el próximo domingo. And what do you think, Reza? She's right, isn't she? It can be cuidar or cuidarse, depending on the use.
Yes, it can be reflexive or non-reflexive. For example, cuídate, just take care. You would say in English, that's all, take care.
Which is something I say sometimes when I say goodbye to something. Hey, goodbye, take care. Mm-hmm.
But you could also say, take care of your mother. You know, she's very old. Take care of your mother.
So, yeah, thanks for your message, Marianne. Keep listening, and we're very happy that you are sending us feedback. And take care. Okay, next we have a message from David from Valencia, and David sent us an audio file in MP3, so let's listen to David.
Hi, Craig and Reza. My name is David. I'm from Valencia. I'm fine from L'Ensemble Inglés from a long time ago. I have all your CDs. You always do a good job.
Thank you, David. We try to do a good job, and we're happy that you have all of our CDs.
You have helped me very much in my English, but I need to improve my speaking. Yesterday, I was listening to your podcast number 19. Reza didn't have a good lunch, and Neda did great. It was very clarifying for me about the use of me too, me neither, so do I, and neither do I. I was listening to the podcast in the gym, doing exercise.
David says he was listening to the podcast in the gym. Good idea, David. But remember, it's listening to the podcast.
And yes, me too. I have my wardrobe full of clothes that they don't fit me. So I have to work out in the gym and I need to lose weight.
So David, like me, is working out at the gym and trying to lose weight. I hope you're being successful, David.
My best trousers are 42 size, and now I used a 46 size. I want to put on those trousers, so I'll never give up until they suit me.
Don't give up, David. Keep working out, and they will fit you. Be careful, not suit you, fit you. If they fit you, está bien de talla. If they suit you, they look good.
I'd like you record a podcast summarizing the use of all tenses verbs in English. Thanks very much for your good job. You help a lot of people to improve our English. Thanks again, David.
Thank you, David. Thank you for sending us your message. And we will be studying more verb tenses in the future. I don't think it's a good idea to do one episode on all of the verb tenses together, but we will be studying verb tenses in detail in future podcasts. Grammatica. This week we have a question from Geraldine Nieto Serrato, who asks us on Facebook, Hola, ¿cuál es la diferencia entre tú y also? ¿Cuándo debo utilizar tú y also? So Reza, do you want to help me with this?
Yes. Well, Craig, the most basic thing I would say is that the meaning is pretty much the same. Would you agree?
It's meaning. In Spanish, también.
Mm-hmm. Tú, también, also, también.
Yeah.
También. The only difference is really where do you put the word? That's the question, isn't it?
¿Cómo colocarlo en la frase?
Yeah. So, for example, I speak Spanish badly.
No.
You're too kind. You're too kind.
No, you speak Spanish wonderfully, much better than me.
No, I'm not sure about that. Well, anyway, let's say I speak Spanish and Craig speaks Spanish. So, I speak Spanish and Craig speaks Spanish too.
Okay, so two goes at the end of the phrase.
Mm-hmm.
What about also? Can I say Craig speaks Spanish also?
Yep.
Yeah, I can. So it can also go at the end.
It can go at the end as well. But also can go in a different place. We can say Reza speaks Spanish and Craig also speaks Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
So also can go at the end. Or it can go also speaks, also before the verb.
Reza drinks tea. He also drinks Guinness.
That's right. So also can go before the verb, but not to. To goes at the end of the sentence or clause.
Okay.
Also can go at the end of the sentence or clause, but it can also go before the main verb. But Craig, what if the main verb is the verb to be? What about that?
Aha. Then it goes after the verb to be. So I'm also going to the party.
Yes.
Yo voy a la fiesta también. I am also going. So it's after the verb to be.
Yeah. Or, I don't want to get into too many... I don't want to get into politics and bore you all, listeners. But I could say, Reza is British. Yeah. Reza is also Irish and proud. Both things. Reza is also Irish.
So you're Irish too.
Yeah, why not? Hmm. You can be British and you can also be Scottish,
mm-hmm.
for example. So I said Reza is British and Reza is also Irish. So also generally goes after the verb to be.
And what happens when there's an auxiliary verb or a modal verb? For example, present perfect, I have been to Cuba.
Mm-hmm. I have also been to Cuba.
Okay, so it's after the modal verb, after the auxiliary verb before the main verb. Justo antes del verbo principal.
Usually, but I would say that that's not a strict rule.
Mm-hmm.
You could also say, I also have been to Cuba. I have also been to Cuba. I also have been to Cuba. Both are okay, aren't they? But
yeah.
Which one's more common, would you say?
Well, I think we touched on this, we spoke about this before when... I'm not sure if you agreed with me, but I feel that if the word is closer to the beginning of the sentence or phrase, it's usually to give more emphasis. So you'd mm-hmm. stress the word. Say, yeah. Oh, you've been to Cuba? I've also... been to Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
So the further it is to the beginning of the sentence, the more emphasis it gives to the comment.
I agree with that, Craig. Yeah. Although I think I remember what we were talking about now in a previous episode. I agree with that. However, I would also say that when you put a word at the very end, it also has extra emphasis.
Especially if you're stressing the word and mm-hmm. you're really giving it, making it muy, muy, muy fuerte.
Yep. Yeah. So you can emphasize the importance of a word either by putting it near the beginning or at the very end. For example, Craig could say, I also have been to Cuba. Or he could say, I have been to Cuba also. I think in both cases, also gets stressed.
Absolutely. Good. Okay. Any other points on to and also, or do you think we have covered it?
Well, just to go back to to then, to goes at the end of a sentence or the end of a clause. Mm-hmm. A clause is a part of a sentence which will have a subject and a verb in it. So, for example...
Santa Claus?
No. Not Santa Claus, no. Well, I don't want to go into too much details about what a clause is, but if you just divide a sentence logically, for example... So, to most frequently goes at the end of a sentence, but it can go at the end of a clause.
So, if he wants to go to, he should meet us at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So... that's a sentence with a comma in the middle. If he wants to go to, también, comma, he should meet us at 8 o'clock.
Yeah. So there we have the word to in the middle of a sentence. But you can see there's a logical split in that sentence. You can easily divide it into two parts. So at the end of the first part, we have the word to. Mm-hmm. It's not the end of the sentence, but it's the end of a logical division. You can also use the word to.
Right.
Craig, there's another slightly different positioning of to. For example, what about this? As you know, listeners, I'm working hard to find a recipe for dulce de leche.
You still haven't got one?
Not yet.
You're kidding me? Really? No. Come on, you Argentinian, send us a recipe for dulce de leche, please.
So I'm working hard to find one, but I haven't found a good one yet. Craig, too, is working hard to find a recipe for dulce de leche. I said Craig too. So there I had the word too right after Craig to emphasize that it's both myself and Craig. So that's another positioning of the word too for emphasis. For example, let's see, we could say Valencia has very nice weather most of the year. Alicante, too, has nice weather.
So I can also say Alicante has very nice weather, too. But you put it further forward, más al principio de la frase, para dar más énfasis.
Or, of course, we could use the word also. We could say Valencia has very nice weather. Alicante also has very nice weather.
Yeah.
Or we could say Alicante has very nice weather also.
Okay, I think that's clear. Well, shall we move on?
Yes, good idea.
I think so, also. I also think so. I think so, too.
Me too.
So, moving on to the vocabulary section. And this episode, I thought, Reza, we could look at some vocabulary connected to the family.
La familia.
Do you have a big family?
I've got two brothers and a sister.
Yeah, my immediate family is fairly small. And I'm not really in touch with my extended family in the UK. But I have a couple of cousins and nieces and nephews. So let's look in detail at some of these family expressions. How do you say tía in English?
Aunt.
Aunt. You say it the same as me. Mm. Aunt. The vowel sound R, like car. Aunt. What about tío?
Uncle.
Uncle. Now be careful with uncle, tío. Because it can be confused with tobillo.
Oh, yes, that's
and
right.
It's a common Spanish speaker mistake. Ankle.
Ankle is tobillo.
Ankle, yeah. My ankle is coming to visit. So, ankle with a, like hat, sat, mat, and cat. That's a is ankle, tobillo. And a, like up, under, up, is uncle.
I'm just remembering a funny thing happened in a class of mine once. A student said mistakenly, it was a mistake, she said, my ankle speaks too much. And I said, what? She said it again, my ankle speaks too much. Of course, she meant to say my uncle. Maybe, and I said, your ankle speaks too much? You should be on TV if you have a talking ankle.
How do you say sobrina in Spanish?
Sobrina. Niece. Can I just say something about niece? The number of people who say nice is not nice.
my nice is coming to visit.
Niece.
So
how would you say mi sobrina bonita?
My beautiful niece.
You could say beautiful, or you could say, go on, say it.
Oh, my nice niece.
My nice niece. Yeah, you could say it. My nice niece.
Isn't there a biscuit called niece?
Niece biscuits, yeah.
My nice niece eats niece biscuits. Try saying that after a pint of Guinness. So I think I said, how do you say sobrino in Spanish? Which is obviously wrong. I should have said, how do you say sobrino in English? How do you say sobrino in English?
So the male is completely different. Nephew.
Nephew. What about prima and primo?
The same word, cousin.
Cousin.
Male and female, it's the same in that case.
And also be careful with the pronunciation of that word, listeners, because the spelling is a little bit difficult and doesn't really explain how to pronounce it. C-O-U-S-I-N, which a Spanish speaker may say, cousin. it's a. The same vowel sound, a, as in uncle, is the sound in the first part of cousin. Cousin. What about nieto?
Nieto is grandson.
Grandson, exactly. And I often get confused in Spanish, and I forget sometimes, mother-in-law, father-in-law. I get those two confused. Mother-in-law, father-in-law, son-in-law, and daughter-in-law. Mm-hmm. In Spanish, mother-in-law, suegra. Is that right?
Yes. And father-in-law, I guess, suegro.
Suegro. And yerno is son-in-law.
That's right. Now, what about, I think that the trickiest, the hardest of all, for we English speakers to remember, how do we say in Spanish, Craig, daughter-in-law? That's a tricky one. Because son-in-law is yerno, but daughter-in-law is not...
It's not yerno?
No.
What is it?
As far as I know, it's nuera.
Really?
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Nuera.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the one that trips up we foreigners when we speak.
I had no idea. Not having a daughter-in-law, I had no idea about that. Grandmother is fairly confusing. Abuela, because there are many different ways to say grandmother. How would you call your grandmother's alive?
They're not, no, but I...
Mine neither.
For me, the natural word is granny.
Granny.
That's what I...
For me, the natural word is nan.
Okay.
Or nanny. Nanny when I was smaller, and nan. So you can say gran or granny. You can say nan or nanny. And perhaps more American English would be grandma.
Grandma, yeah.
More grandpa, grandma, more in American English. And grand, granny, nan or nanny in British English. And finally, cuñado.
Brother-in-law.
Cuñada.
Sister-in-law.
Absolutely.
What about Craig? What about the Spanish for stepfather?
Pedastro?
I think so, yeah.
What about stepbrother? Cuñastro?
Is it hermanastro?
No idea.
God, we should check it, actually.
Yeah, we should check it.
Actually, we did check it, and stepbrother is hermanastro in Spanish. Stepbrother.
Moving on to phrasal verbs, and this episode we have a question from Mabel, who sent us a message through our website, inglespodcast.com. And Mabel says, hi, I hope you're having a good day. Are we? Are you having a good day?
I'm having a great day. Thanks a lot, Mabel.
I would like you to explain a little bit about the prepositions that are used in English after some verbs. For example, the building burned down. I mean, why can't I simply say the building burned? Well, you can, Mabel. And to be honest, there isn't very much difference. The idea of down in this example is completion. It makes it more complete, that the building was completely burned, everything down to the ground. So the building burned could be maybe partly, en parte, or just like a little. But if it burned down, it adds emphasis and gives the idea of completion. Do you agree with that?
Completely, yeah.
But very often it really doesn't matter. And as we've said before, phrasal verbs are often used in more informal English. So you have often you have the option, the choice of the full verb or the verb with the preposition or particle.
Yeah, it's hard to give fixed rules. As you said there, to burn down means to burn completely. There's none left. But that doesn't mean that down always has that meaning.
No.
For example, if any of the listeners have a good memory, they might remember a few episodes ago, we talked about write down, the difference between write and write down. And we said that write down always has the meaning of writing it immediately.
Yes.
Immediately and quickly. I'm going to give you my telephone number. Write it down. So do it now. Mm-hmm. And it's not a long piece of writing. That's write down. But I could say, write my telephone number. I could. But write down adds the meaning of it's immediate and it's not long. So that use of the word down is not the same as the use of burn down. Absolutely. So there's no fixed rules for every preposition.
Another example I found is if you have a printer, you can print it off. Or if you have a printer, you can print it. So that off, which makes it a phrasal verb, print is more general. It's just a more, it's a verb, it's a more general way of saying imprimir. But print off or print out of the computer gives it a more specific meaning of coming out of the computer. But again, you can use, very often you can use these interchangeably.
I can't see any difference between print out and off, can you?
No, but you would print a book perhaps, or print a poster.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't say print off a poster.
No.
Unless it's something that's going to be very quick or something immediate. So again, it's this idea of immediacy. But it's an interesting point, Mabel. Anyway, that's all we have time for on this episode. So thank you very much for listening. And remember, send us an email, or like David from Valencia, send us a sound file, mensaje de voz en MP3, with a comment or a question, and send it to craig@inglespodcast.com or belfastreza@gmail.com. And remember, you can also find the show notes, las notas de episodio, on our website at inglespodcast.com. También danos algunas estrellas y una corta reseña, a review in iTunes. Thank you very much for listening to this podcast, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later. Licensed by Creative Commons under a by NC license at ccmixter.org.